Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey. Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Hello and welcome back to the Wildcat Scoop podcast. I'm your host, Shelby Shear, here with...
Jason Shear.
And Arizona won! Triple overtime, baby.
You're screaming and the kids are asleep.
Oh, sorry. Arizona wins in triple overtime tonight against Utah in, as usual, a butt-clenching game.
What?
Cardiac cats, indeed.
Butt-clenching, cardiac... Shelby's two white claws in, folks. All
Isn't
bets are
that
off.
What someone says? I've seen that quote. Like, yeah. What it's like being an Arizona fan is like...
From Mark Titus, I think.
Yeah, clench your butt kind of thing.
I never panic.
That's also a trick when you sing high notes in choir.
I thought you were going to say something else. I thought we were transitioning real quick.
No, we're just going back and forth about dumb stuff. But what's not dumb, Arizona wins.
Ooh.
What?
That was a good transition.
Thank you. It was really good. Arizona wins, and gotta be honest, there's many times I just was like, okay, this is over, and they kept coming back.
Not me.
You were so full of it. I know this is your jinx thing that you do.
Nope, not me. I was
always calm. I tweeted this. You literally said, the home team always wins in overtime.
Yeah, and they lost.
Always.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Read it. Do it. Add it.
Before we begin, we have to shout out our sponsor. As usual, I'd love to get that read up for you if I could do that. Here we go. Investing should be easy. Buy low and sell high. But what seems simple can get tricky in a complex field. It's too easy to encounter pitfalls in the investment space, but seeking professional advice can help you reach your goals. At Longview Insurance and Investments, we're your local professionals based right here in Tucson. Let us help you create a personalized investment portfolio that reflects your unique risk tolerance. Visit our website at longviewinsuranceandinvestments.com to learn more. What the hell are you doing? He's got a little box of like jelly beans, like a little bag. I hope you had to have heard that. Good Lord. We just got chaos going on here. Anyway, thank you to Longview Insurance and Investments for the sponsorship. I am sending a cup to you, Andre, tomorrow. So...
Maybe Andre could help you with your insurance. Shelby almost broke many things in the house tonight. She did it, though.
I didn't throw an ottoman, though.
There's like, only one time ottoman. You hit. Shelby's a hitter. She likes to hit stuff.
Yeah.
So she hit. She likes, like, if she goes
like,
to the
I
kale.
Banged on the.
Right. So she hit the couch arm, and the dogs ran for their lives.
They were a little mildly upset
and
with
Shelby
me.
Shelby said, you're wimps, and then she hit me.
I hit my knee. My knee's probably going to be bruised tomorrow, like just hitting the top of my leg. When I watch James and McHale, if I have a rail in front of me, I'll hurt my hands because I'm hitting the rail.
Shelby's always going to.
And Jason is turning bright red right now. You can't phase me. I'm two white claws in. I might get a third one.
Well, that was filthy what I was about to say.
Thank you for refraining yourself. This is just married life, guys.
Arizona won easily in triple overtime, 105-99.
Easily.
Never a doubt in my mind.
No, before you start talking, we're going to start off with the number one thing that should be said. That we've said the score like three times.
105-99.
105-99.
Triple overtime.
Shout out to Pella.
Yeah, we were going to get there, Shelby.
I don't want to wait until our lives are over.
Okay, Shelby has a crush on Pella.
I love you, Pella.
He's taken.
I don't care, man. He's my little Swedish fish. All right.
Oh, my God. So, Bella Larson had 27 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists. Look, the free throws, we're going to ignore them.
It was a bad moment. I'm going to be honest. He's tired.
No, we're going to ignore them
because...
He literally
picked this team up on his back, and he was carrying the weight of it, and he was fucking tired.
All right, Shelby. Let us know how you feel. So, Bella played great. The free throws would have been a much bigger deal had Arizona lost the game, clearly. Yeah, but like you said, like, I just assumed you play 48 minutes. He was a monster in all
career
facets
high.
Of the game. Career high
27. Against Utah.
Yes, that's who
his
they played.
His arch rivals.
Yes, that's very cool. His career high came against his former team. But yeah, I'd assume it was just because he was tired. But before we get into individual play, Shelby, the first half, Arizona... whoop that ass. They're up 16, and I tweeted the game wasn't over because, generally speaking, in college basketball, things always kind of return to the mean. Does that make sense? I don't know. I'm not good at math.
You're using math terms?
Yeah, I'm not good. So the fact that Utah couldn't hit anything in the first half meant that they were clearly going to hit in the second half. I did not expect hitting in the second half to be 7 of 7,
seven
from
seven.
3 to start. 8 of 11 from 3. Now, that's kind of funny. They go 7 of 7, and then they go 1 of their next 3. And then in overtime, Shelby, they go 1 for 3, I believe. I don't know. Not that good. But anyway, yeah. So they're making 3 after 3 after 3 in the second half, and you're just like, oh, here we go again. And a lot of them were open. I'd say like half were open, and the other half weren't, but... you're like, oh, here we like it's in like I was saying to Mike a minute ago in the show, like you could give college teams a lot of them open threes and they still wouldn't hit 7 in a row. It really is uncanny.
It's a fluke.
But at the same time, like Utah shoots threes. Like they're a good 3-point shooting team, especially at home, and it just kind of happened all at once instead of spreading the love. And to Arizona's credit, they hung with it. I thought that was important. They very likely, or not likely, but very possibly could have not done that. They, you know, wouldn't have been a surprise if they kind of folded and, you know, were like, oh, crap, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, 3 after 3 after 3, you're like, here we go again. You throw your hands up, and before you know it, the game's over. They hung with it on the road. And, you know, overall, this is a good win to me. Like, I know that the blowing the lead is disappointing. Arizona covered.
They did. That was crazy.
Which was funny. The spread was 5.5, which is just stupid. Arizona won by 6. But any, like, we've put up the stats over and over again for road wins in the country, right? And just,
it's hard.
It's hard to win on the road. Any road win is a big road win. This is a... really impressive win. Utah hadn't lost on the road. I don't care how it happens. You know, you just want it to happen. And it did. So, you know, overall, I think that Arizona, you know, it's a big win to me overall.
It's not just a big win, Jason. It demonstrated one thing. One secret recipe that a team needs to get to the national championship game.
Free throw defense.
That is important. Yeah. Needs to be worked on. But there is the other thing
that
I talked
about.
Arizona's
free throw defense was good tonight.
Oh, okay, great.
Utah went 10 of 20.
I was thinking of all the other things.
You didn't get my joke.
I didn't. Right. Thanks for interrupting my flow.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm talking about True Grit, Jason.
Oh, here we go.
True Grit is required. And in those moments when you're not playing so well.
True.
Got to look at somebody on the team who can kind of spark it. And usually the person you're hoping it would be is Caleb Love.
It used to be Josiah Turner who could spark it. Hey-o! Shout out Debonair Dutrieve. Hey-o!
And he was a little hit and miss tonight, but when it counted, obviously Caleb had some moments. I'm not taking that away from you, Mike.
Not many,
but when he needed to, Pella was one of them too. But that definitely doesn't matter how it looked. It just looks like a win at the end, and it was ugly. It was nerve-wracking. People might have had a heart attack before it ended, but
not
they
me,
won.
Shelby. Calm, cool, collected. The 3 C's. Let's just jump into individuals.
Let's do it. Speaking of Senor Love.
Yeah, we'll start with Caleb Love. 5 of 20 from the field. You know, I don't really... It's hard to blame him for the last second shots at the regulation and overtime and all, because I don't know what was drawn up. It looked like basically, and again, I don't know this for a fact, but it looked, it definitely looked like Tommy basically said, try to get open and make something happen.
And Godspeed.
Yeah, that's kind of what it felt like. But, yeah, I mean, overall, he didn't shoot well at all. He did get 10 rebounds. He only turned the ball over once. He did play the most amount of minutes on the team, one more than Pella. It's tough because, like, he shoots 5 for 20, but the one thing I will say, and we've always said it, is that good or bad, we don't have to worry about who wants the last shot.
Because right.
Caleb Love wants and will pretty much always take the last
good
shot.
Good or bad.
Right. Good or bad, that last shot.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Is his. So, was it a good game for him? No. There were some moments that were flat out terrible.
You got to say it, Jason. What do you call this? With the ups and downs and the highs and lows with Caleb?
Fluid.
No, you have a term for it.
I don't know.
The Caleb Love experience.
Oh, yeah. Today was the full Caleb Love experience. Missed many shots, but then came up and hit the big three at the start of the overtime period. And, yeah, it's the full Caleb Love experience. What you see is what you get with Senor Love. Pella Larsen, we already talked about. I thought I got scared when he hurt his ankle.
Yeah, you know.
You know, the thing with Pella that I like is, like, when he is an active part of the offense, he is considerably better. Like, aggressive Pella is so much better than non-aggressive Pella. When he's driving to the rim, when he's trying to create his own shot, which he can do on a consistent basis.
He gets his rebound and then he puts it back up.
Like, we've seen it now a couple times in the last week or so. Like, yeah, like, even the play where he missed, he got his rebound and went right back up with it. Like, I mean, 7 rebounds, 8 assists, 48 minutes, 10 of 17 shooting. Yeah, like, I'm not saying he should do this every night, but he's capable of having more bigger games than he has.
And there were times in this game where nobody else's shot was going, and there's only one person that was actually getting to the basket or getting it in was Pella. So you need to see that more from him, especially as we get, Justice, not Colorado, but ASU, LA schools. You need that dog. Got that dog coming out. Was that your bark?
I can't. The girls are sleeping.
No, they're not. Braille just came out here and yelled at me for being too loud.
Okay. Well, you are very loud. next up, Kylon Boswell. I thought his arm fell off. And
yeah,
I am a doctor, so I said he dislocated his shoulder. They're going to have to amputate real quick. Hopefully, he can get back in the game. I'm not a doctor. I am a doctor. It depends on my time of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking pinch nerve, right? Like,
well, nothing happened on the replay. He wasn't bumped. He didn't go to the ground. It was kind of like a non-contact injury, and he did come back. So it's almost like something just kind of
and they're
slipped.
Holding his arm, so maybe he's telling Justin and all that, I can't move my arm because
like he was in real pain though. Like, you can't. Yeah. It's not like it was a gimmick or anything.
So that was interesting. But he comes back in, and I have absolutely no issues with the way he played tonight. 16 points, 5 assists, 2 turnovers. I like the fact that, like, he played 29 minutes. I know some of that was because of injury, so let's say he could have played a few more. But he split time with Bradley, which is the way I think. I think sometimes Kylan, when he plays big minutes, puts too much pressure on himself. And tonight was a night where he's kind of going back and forth with Bradley. The shots he's taking, for the most part, like, he had the 1-3 he missed terribly, but for the most part, the shots he took was within the offense, and I really like again, broken record. Arizona is so much better when Boswell plays well, and it needs Boswell to play well. Now it's a matter of taking that 16-point performance and not necessarily scoring 16 every night, but consistently going out there and just not being a liability, right?
Right.
Like, just play well for the most part. Yeah, you're going to make some mistakes, but just defend well, rebound, get pat. Like, don't be a full-out liability where you're just, you're not shooting or rebounding or anything. Like, tonight, again, 16 points is a lot. I don't expect it every game, but he needs to bring it and have that effort. I thought there was a high effort level tonight specifically.
Yeah, I'd say higher. The one thing that I tweeted that makes me a little nervous and I hope they get a chance to work on is their passing. The passing tonight was very circumspect. Like, there's wobbly passes. Obviously, the regular turnovers happen. There are frequently times when Kylan was passing, Pella did it a couple times. Just odd angles, and the ball was wobbly. It was like a hair's breadth from being a turnover.
Yeah, like, they had 8 turnovers, but, like, there was one player where, like, Boswell had a really bad pass, but it was deflected out.
Yeah, like, and they just are getting lucky.
Right, and, yeah, I think, you know, and Utah defended well, and in Utah, you know, we'll get to this. I was going to talk about KJ Lewis, but, you know, we'll skip ahead to him. Like, people are wondering why KJ Lewis only played 22 minutes. Utah, might literally be the first time all season that I've seen, went to a 1-3-1 zone.
It was very confusing.
And Arizona, there's no way they practice for that because Utah doesn't run it. You don't go into practice in basketball and say, we're going to, you know, this team runs 99.9% man, so let's practice against a 2-3 zone. Like, that's just not what you do. And so they go to a zone that Utah, I have to look this up, but Utah has not run it at any point that I've seen them. And I watch most Pac-12 games.
It's a little trickery.
So there's no way that KJ Lewis, as a freshman, was prepared for a 1-3-1 zone. Like, there's just no way. And I think once they went to that, you saw KJ not play. I don't think it's anything that KJ Lewis did. It's just a matter of, okay, they're going to a completely different look. We need to play the older guys that have seen this defense, not from Utah, but just in general. Like, this isn't the first time Jaden Bradley has seen it, or Caleb Love, etc. So Utah went to a defense that, again, I'm going to look this up with whatever it is, Synergy or whatever. I can't recall them running this defense at any point this season, literally.
All right. Going back down the list.
My boy. My guy.
Señor Balu.
Talk about it, Shelby.
Umar tonight was guarding pretty at a high level as far as, like, the person he was guarding. That was, like, a battle.
Yeah, it wasn't a high-level defense.
No.
But it, like, was definitely a battle.
The contact
between
the two of them.
Him and Carlson, him and Keita. It was fun to watch, and they really couldn't guard each other. I know Umar only had 10 points, but 5-9 shooting, he didn't shoot a lot. 16 rebounds is pretty
clutch.
Legit. And he played 45 minutes, which for a guy his size is crazy. But yeah, I mean, Carlson and Keita were awesome. I love Keita. Like, I think he's a complete stud. For whatever reason, he hasn't been able to stay on the court for an extended period of time. Of course, he was tonight with triple overtime, played 35 minutes, but he is really, really good. And underrated overall. But, you know, Umar is a big-time rebounder. Like, he is. And so, you know, Arizona needed him tonight. Like, I thought Arizona's rebounding was poor tonight. They lost the battle on the glass to Utah team, but they allowed 21 offensive rebounds, and thankfully they had 17 second-chance points. Arizona also had 17 second-chance points on 16 offensive rebounds. But there were sequences where Utah got multiple offensive rebounds in the same possession, and they were lucky, and Umar did very well with that overall. The rebounding, had 16 rebounds, 4 of them offensive. Another offensive rebounder tonight that did a very good job was Keyshawn Johnson with 6 offensive rebounds.
Yep.
Keyshawn's interesting. He's interesting. Like, he does stuff that really frustrates you, but then, like, he had 17 points and 9 rebounds tonight in 43 minutes. I thought overall he played pretty well. I didn't think his defense was great. But when you look at him overall, like, it's weird because he's not what I expected at all from San Diego State. He's not the same player that, you know, he's shooting more from 3. He's more open, which is very much the pitch from Arizona, I'd assume. I thought he'd be a little better on defense overall, but yeah, like, you know, it's a situation where I think he played well overall. And, yeah, like, I'm cool with it, I guess I should say. I'm cool, baby. I don't really have complaints about anybody individually, to be perfectly honest. I think, you know, just wrapping it up, like, Jaden Bradley was fine. His defense was great tonight. Krivas, this was not a game for him.
This was not a game for Krivas.
Krivas is always going, at least at this point of his career, he's going to struggle with athletic players. He cannot guard Kita. That was not going to happen. Kita's a super above-average athlete. And Carlson is just too skilled and veteran for Krivas. So Krivas only played 8 minutes at 3,008 minutes. It wasn't a game for him. And when you have a young big man, that's going to happen. You know, defensively, you know, Smith had a triple-double, but he shot 6 of 20 from the field. And that's what I always say is, you know, if a guy's going to score on you, make sure it's inefficient. 4 turnovers, 6 of 20 from the field. You'll take that every time. Gabe Mattson had 17, but he was 6 of 15. You know, Carlson was awesome, 27 and 15 rebounds. But there wasn't that other guy that really, you know, killed Arizona. Arizona overall, Utah shot 44% and was 11 of 29 from threes. When you think about it, they were 7 of 7, Shelby. So they were 4 of 22 outside of that span, which you'll take every day. So for me overall, like...
No, I have one thing.
I know. I'm a win-on-the-road type of dude. If you win on the road, you win on the road. There is no such thing as a disappointing road loss or win or whatever.
That's true. And it's hard to do. Because isn't this like their first one in a triple overtime since like 2011?
Yeah, like, and those games are, and I said it, and you made fun of me. I was kind of being serious. Like, usually the tie goes to the home team. Like, when you hit the triple overtime and you're tired and there's no one behind you, mode it, like...
Yeah, you get the energy from the crowd.
Right, that's not easy to do.
Right. One thing I can say that I'm not thrilled about, and it's I don't know if it's a pattern quite yet, but we talked about it. Is Tommy's choices sometimes as a coach are mind-boggling. And, like, just there are set plays that he should be drawing up. And, again, you mentioned it earlier. It just seemed like he told Caleb Love, get open. I mean, like, there's just no kind of actual game managing happening. And if you know that, you know, Utah is throwing out some weird defenses or, you know, like, maybe we need to be playing defense more. We've had some combinations this season that worked. And I didn't really, I think you called it out, didn't see him playing Lewis and Bradley together.
Well, again,
and like it was weird.
I would have liked to see the Lewis and Bradley combo more, but the issue was the 1-3-1.
Yeah, that's true.
So you're kind of selling one for the other. But, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, and then in terms of Tommy's calls, it's always hard for me at the end of games because, like, does Tommy tell Caleb Love, just dribble around and then get your shot? Or is it a screen and action going on elsewhere and it just fails and before you know it? Because if you watch college basketball, how many good last-second possessions do you see?
Well, it doesn't seem like Arizona that much.
Right, but it's very rare in general, right? So,
yes.
You know, it's hard to say, like, what was that play for Caleb? Like, when Pella Larson started to drive and then gave it out to Caleb, who put up a 40-foot three, or at least it felt that way, what was the play? Was it Pella driving and dishing to another guy and they stopped it? Like, what was the original call? So.
Okay. Well, I'm still not thrilled, but we'll see if it gets better.
You may not be thrilled, Chubby.
Yeah.
But I know no matter what, no matter how many White Claws you have drank, no matter what time of night it is, no matter how much cheese that I eat during a podcast or crappy jelly beans from Trader Joe's.
Yeah, they're really disappointing.
I know one thing, Shelby.
No matter where you are or what you do, I'm so glad this is on the mug now. I can just read it right off of here. You can always bear down.
Also, so Michael Luke will leave Shelby and I alone. If you got the back the A reference from Matt Muehlbach, could you please send it to him on Twitter? Or post it on the board. He's losing his mind.
Mike is woefully technologically deficient. You must do this for him.
Immediately.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts, So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.